Andrew if they could find the song. I said, I need When Jesus Comes. And they stepped up the plate for me because it leads right into, and it helps your heart to be in the right place as we look at things we can learn at the wayside. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they went and before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. They said the title's The Wayside. And I thought I had this silent. I'll make my prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask now, Lord, that you take me out of the way, that the message would speak to hearts. And Father, that we would know everything has changed when Jesus comes to stay. Give me clarity of thought and mind. May I speak succinctly and clearly. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit can have his will in his way. Take control of my mind and my mouth, the action of my hands and feet. And I pray that your Spirit would work in each and every heart that's here, whether there's someone who is lost and undone, without hope and without God. They don't know if they were to die today that heaven would be their home. And also for the believer, Father, that he would see and learn what we can see, the way Jesus dealt with a blind man on the highways and byways of life as he came by on the wayside. Bless the service now in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought of this message. I wasn't going to preach it. I looked for other ones. Pastor Kenny had asked me to preach. I had two set aside that I had written and preached many years ago. And then Michael told me a funny story about two people in a nursing home he's working with. Okay? He just, you know, it's one of those things, and I look at that and I'm going, okay. So many of us, we don't know when the end of our life will be. If you're here tonight, the Bible says, what is your life but a vapor that appeareth for what? Little time then passes away. So in our text here, it starts, and it came to pass as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man. See, he's on the Jericho road. He's passing the Jericho, and it says a certain blind man. It starts with that. Well, if you turn to, well, let's go ahead and do that. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, I said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You find the account in Matthew when it talks about it. It's speaking about two blind men. In Mark, you see it's very specific. It actually gives you the name. It doesn't give you that in Matthew. It doesn't give you that in Luke. But in Mark, it tells you his name is Bartimaeus. I want you to turn to Matthew 22. See, because in Luke it says the wayside. In Mark, it's the highway, the Jericho Road. Matthew 22, verse 9. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you've been given a command. It's not whether you think you have the gift or not. It's whether you're going to be obedient to the Savior or not. Verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. See, he's talking about that. And for sake of time, we won't turn there, but the minute I think of the marriage, I see this passage, I think of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. See, why? Because all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And the wedding was furnished with guests. You know, I'm not preaching on that wedding, but I want you to understand it's a call of God. Okay? It's a command of God. Why do we do street preaching? You know, we are the only church in this local area that does that. Why? Because we want as many people at the marriage supper of the Lamb as possible. Okay? If you're saved tonight, you're part of the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. God the Father wants to celebrate because He's King over all the earth and celebrate the marriage of His Son. It doesn't make any difference. If you're not saved, you may think you're good. The Bible says there's none good but God. You may think you're bad. There's no person who is so wicked that God can't save them, and there's no person who's so good that they don't need to be saved. And you can't escape that. Okay, and I want you to think about this. Jesus was traveling from one place to another. He'd been in Jericho. He was departing from there. That's what we're told in Mark, right? I want you to know, believer, as you move through this life, the wayside is wherever life's path takes you. That's the highway you're on. We didn't ask Brother Thren to say something. We talked to him. Judy and I got more serious about that because of her cancer. So it's something we pray about so that we look for divine appointments. You know, that isn't okay. God opens up your planner or your smartphone and types in the day and the time that He's going to send somebody to you that you can talk to about Jesus. That's not what a divine appointment is. It's whoever is there on the wayside, on the highway of your life. That's your divine appointment. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. I don't know who that is. Do you? So your appointment from God is the one who's on the wayside. We pray for those divine appointments. We take them in the people that we come in contact with as we live each day. When Jesus comes to stay, the tempter's power is broken. Hearts are changed when He comes to stay. So tonight, I want you to think about what lesson we can learn from the wayside. And I called Pastor Kenny up and I go, I don't know if this is mine, this is yours, and it got preached by you, whatever. And the only reason I thought it might have been is because he alliterates a lot. Okay? So today, we're going to pronounce a lot of P's. Okay? When I say that, Mela and some of the younger ones, the little ones, are just learning to ask. And I say please. And many of them say, please? What would that do to them if they put out their hands and I put green peas in their hands? See, the first thing I want you to see, there's a particular person. Verse 35. And it came to pass as he was come nigh unto Jericho, what? A certain blind man. A certain person, blind Bartimaeus, he's given the name. It's an individual. I could make up a message. I was looking at different things, and I just wrote down a few of these. In the Bible, when it comes to it, it says in another place a certain man. Another place it says a certain woman. Another place a certain disciple. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. A certain widow. A certain king. A certain centurion. A certain rich man. And it goes on and on and on, because you know what? God isn't this ethereal thing out there. That I am Father God, and you all must bow before me. God deals with individual hearts. I got saved out of a church that taught me wrongly that I could go pray for somebody who couldn't make it to heaven by themselves, light some candles, and pray them out of purgatory. Eternally too late, but very profitable. See, it's a certain. How do you know who the divine appointment is? Do you see people as a group? I used to like to duck hunt. You know what you can't do when you duck hunt? Flock shoot. Okay? You can't. You may wound some, but you don't get them. Okay? It's individuality. God wants to speak to you personally. Personally. He is a personal God. So you got this particular person, a particular blind man, and he was physically blind. He couldn't see. My wife has one eye. Got a cataract in that. I asked her to cut my hair. I let it grow out a little bit, and then I went to see Carla Ronco. Okay. I have a nephew. Got saved in this church coming down front when Tony Saxton preached the very first time. He and his wife ran to the altar. You know what they are? They're the music leaders in a small Baptist church south of Syracuse today. He's legally blind. He has to be driven to work. He tried to fight his blindness, because there's physical blindness and then there's emotional blindness. And he was not going to emotionally admit that he couldn't see. So he went to school to become a master mechanic. And just like John Wall, who had to, if he wore his shirt when he was working, he was a master in 18, 20 different things he was trained in and fixing. Everything from the computer to the transmission, the engine, the electrical system. Well, Corey went and he could get all the schooling with that. He just, because he, very high IQ, and he could learn that and assent to it mentally. But when it came time to step underneath the car up on the lift, and it's not bright light, he couldn't work fast enough. But he wasn't going to give in to the fact he was blind. And of course, he wasn't saved then. And I knew he was both physically blind and spiritually blind. I talked to Corey into going to school using his blindness as a benefit and not as a negative. He's now a psychologist who works for the state of New York working with people with disabilities. When he recognized his physical blindness, he then humbled himself and also lost the emotional blindness and the spiritual blindness that would have been hindering his whole life. Because when we think we see, when we don't see, we get a pride problem. This man didn't have a pride problem. He was sitting on the wayside, the side of the highway, begging. The minute I think about that, I think about five different trips to India in Paul, Brother Paul, driving us down the shoulders of the road. Steve and Don can tell you about this, Judy, Pastor Kenny, Kevin and Nancy, if they were here, you'll see beggars on the highway. Nancy's not here, so right? All right, you'll see them. The thing that broke my heart, when Paul would talk, you'd find out that some of the ones that were begging, it was a child who was deformed. Wasn't born deformed. You got to also remember, no matter what's going on in your life, God makes no mistakes with you. But the parents wanted to earn money, so they broke his arms and legs and tied them, so he was crippled, so then he could be a better beggar. There's different places that talks about the beggars in Bible times in the scriptures. Here he's physical blind, but there's emotional blindness. You know what emotional blindness is? When you can't see real love. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And there's spiritual blindness. We'll give you verses for that, but Ephesians chapter 4, they're both emotionally blind and spiritually blind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, this is the Apostle Paul speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their what? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their what? Your heart, your meditator. That's where you give and receive love from. Who being past feeling, see emotional? They're emotionally blind, who being past feeling had given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. People who can't see love many times go into addictive behaviors and self-harm, because they don't know there's one who loves them enough, gives them value, and gives them worth, enough so that he gave his life in an eternity of suffering hell on the cross in 6 hours' time to show his love to them. They can't see love. Emotional blindness. There's spiritual blindness. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. This is as positive a message as I can give you. You study your Bible, you got to understand, the Bible's two-thirds negative, one-third positive. You just don't want to end in a negative, amen? I can tell you right now, I've read the end of the book. I did the Cliff Notes, and we won. Okay? 1 John 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his. Was that speaking about physical blindness or spiritual blindness? Spiritual blindness comes from emotional blindness. Can't see love. Can't see love. So there's physical blindness, blind Bartimaeus. There's emotional blindness. You don't know when you go to the highway what kind of blindness you'll come against. But I know this. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So through him, no matter what the darkness is, it can be removed. You like singing songs from the hymn book? Count one time, look through it, songs by Fanny Crosby. She has gorgeous songs about heaven, and she was blind. Physically blind. But emotionally, she was alive, and spiritually, she had greater light than so many people who claim to be Christians. Spiritual blindness. Back in our text, Luke chapter 18. He's there, he's begging on the side of the highway, just trying to get through the day. And hearing the multitude, because you see the other, there was a great throng of people that followed Jesus. You know what they were looking for? Some miracle, some blessing, something to change their state. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. You know what that is? What does that mean? You talk to people about Jesus Christ, you know what they're going to ask you? What does that mean? How does that apply to me? How does that affect me? They're blind. They need light. So we see a particular person. Jesus comes by and he goes, what does that mean? You know what it meant for him? Life or death. You know what it means for every person on the wayside? Life or death. Life or death. Please, if you're here tonight, choose life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's no darkness in Jesus. Then we see here that it's a particular place. And it came to pass, he come nigh unto what? Jericho. It's a Jericho road. It's the wayside. If you're here tonight, if you can see physically, you're not physically blind, but you may be emotionally blind. And if you're without Christ, you're definitely spiritually blind. It's a particular place. He's on the wayside. Believer, do all of you stay home in order off Amazon? Do you leave your home? Do you go out on the highways and the byways? Every place you go, you and me, because we're saved, take Jesus with us. So no matter who the beggar is, Jesus is going to pass by. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to ask you, where are you with that? When Adam and Eve sinned and they hid from God in their guilt, God knew right where they were. But he asked the question, Adam, where art thou? He knows. Do you? So we have a particular person, we have a particular place, we have a personal plea. Verse 38, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Second time he's done that. Verse 39, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's a personal plea because God is a personal God. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Amen. You can't die and be with God. When God the Son, Jesus Christ, walked the face of this earth, anybody who came, he came near, if they were dead, he'd what? Raise them up in life. The two other thieves that he was crucified with, Jesus gave up the ghost and then they died. Because he is life. He is life. It's a personal plea. Have mercy on me. Just turn over, if your Bible's like mine, just turn over a page in Luke 17. Luke 17. Different story. Okay? Luke 17, let me see where that starts. In verse 11. And it came to pass as he went, see, this is what he ran into going where? To Jerusalem. That he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and entered into a certain what? Boy, you look at those certain things in your Bible, you're going to learn a lot. A certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Steve and Don, Judy, Pastor Kenny, did we go to a leper colony? No. Kevin, we went to a leper colony. I preached in a couple leper colonies with the Apostle Paul. I believe it was in a leper colony. We got to watch him cast an unclean spirit out of a girl. Brother Paul. But you'd see there, and there's the children who don't want to leave their mother and father. They aren't born with leprosy every time. But they love their mother and father, and we got to see people with no arms, no legs, many times with no fingers, because leprosy wants them to rot and fall off. It's corruption of the body. But man, when they got saved, could they rejoice in Jesus? So there's leprosy today. Leprosy is a picture of sin spreading. You know that? Well, there's 10 lepers. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They stand away. In India, you know what they have to declare as they walk through? Unclean. 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 Unless they're Christians and you come to them and then they're accepted in the beloved. Amen? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, do what? Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice did what? Glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks for, and he was a Samaritan. He was half Jew. And Jesus answering said, were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, saving this stranger. He said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy what? Doesn't that sound familiar? So it's a personal plea. You have not because you ask and have not because you ask it amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Our God wants mankind to know that one of his greatest attributes is mercy. When Moses on the mount the second time want to see God. He said, you can't see me, but I'll declare myself as I pass by you. You can see my hinder parts. And when he passed by, he said, the Lord God, merciful. Merciful. God is merciful. You know what I know? Because of my own life and everyone that I work with or deal with, everybody needs mercy. Everybody needs mercy. Go to Psalm 25 and Psalm 123. Psalm 25. Look at verses 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. Oh God, please remember them. And thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Wouldn't that be a good way to remember everyone that you pass on the highway, on the wayside? Charity suffereth long and is, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, says the greatest of these is charity. Psalm 123. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Have mercy. Everyone needs mercy. What's your plea before God? It's a personal plea. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Amen? So let's go back to our text. You still with me? It's a personal plea. Look at verse 39 of Luke chapter 18. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, Thou David, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's a persistent plea. I'm a people observer. I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm not a weirdo. I am a kook. Keeper of odd knowledge. But I'll go sit at, I haven't done it since Judy and I tried to do carnivore. I don't sit at Subway and order a sub in Walmart and watch the people. But you know, when I did, Donnie O'Brien would always come up and scare me when he worked there. But I'd be so busy watching the way kids interact with their parents. And you know, they can be very insistent for a short period of time. I gotta have that. I want it. I need it. I need it. Don't you understand me? The wife turns to her husband and says, that's okay, honey. We'll get it for you. No. The children, they think they gotta have something. They can't live without it. You see the looks I get when I tell some of the children, you've already come to me once for gummy bears. But I need more. No. Okay, Papa. And then they forget about it. And you know what happens? They need something else right away. One of the tests Judy and I had with our kids, whether we did something or paid for something or bought something for them, was if they were persistent in their plea. Where do you think I'm going with this? Jesus stopped because he was persistent in his plea. Look at Luke 18, same chapter, starting at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, this is Jesus, that men ought always to what? Pray, and not to, that means don't quit praying. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she... And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Do you know your heavenly Father knows better what you need than what you do? And sometimes he just takes his time. I can remember, I am old now. I once was young, I am now old. Okay? But I still can remember as a teenager, boy, I wanted certain things, wanted to do certain things, wanted to be able to do certain things, and boy, they were important to me for a week. Isn't that how it works with a teenager? They do something wrong, and you correct them, and you remove something, or you give them a... By the time they're a teenager, you don't have to give them biblical timeouts anymore. If you want to know what a biblical timeout is, ask my wife after the service, or ask Michael. He got used to getting biblical timeouts when he was younger. They can't see. They can't see very far. They have their what? Their whole life before them, they think. And they can see for about a week. When you take something away from a teenager and you say, until your heart is right, you're not getting it back. You should do it with young children, okay? They have too many things to start. And you say, you've got to wait until I can see it change. That's consistent. So they're good for 3 days, and they come back and say, I've been good for, I deserve that back. Not if you're a good parent. Sometimes God, who's the best father, will make you what? He knows, he wants you to know. And are you willing to be persistent about the plea? A persistent plea. How many prayers that in a moment are offered up? How many of those same prayers are followed up? John Denise can tell you that. They write down the prayer request. They talk to the missionaries. Missionaries give us a prayer request. They pray for it every day. Every day. They look for the answer. And many times you know what happened? They don't send back an answer because it was important at that moment for them, but now they've moved on to something else they had to deal with. I've had 3 or 4 missionaries come back and said, oh my word. Some people in your church cared more about my prayer request than I did. Persistent pleas. What are you consistent or persistent about before God? Is it the souls of your loved ones? They're on the wayside begging. Are they offered up and not followed up? Let's go back to our text. Luke 18, verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him. You know what you have? You have the position of the Savior. He was traveling. He was moving. He was heading away from Jericho. When you look at the three accounts. And the plea came. And even when the beggar was told to stop, he cried out the more. Did Jesus just pass him by on the highway, on the wayside? No. He stood. He didn't pass by, or I should say, he didn't pass by the blind man as he was passing on to the next event that he was traveling to. Pastor Kinney made a comment. The ideal is, in his message, that if God's dealing with the heart about something and you guys are supposed to be in church, and you know what? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves one with another, and the more so as you see the day approaching. That's a command to believers. We're not supposed to forsake what? Coming together. But if God's laid on your heart and there's someone, okay, you go to the store or something and God gives you a divine appointment and you're late for church or you don't even make church, you know what you're going to hear about that? If you're talking to that person about their soul, about what's struggling, troubling with them, you never know. You know what the kind of neat thing is? Judy and I, this is the way we start off with people. We're a praying people. God's blessed. My wife is alive. She says, I'm alive. I'm not supposed to be here. And we want to pray for you. Is there something serious we can pray about for you? And that's where how our divine appointments start. Because, you know, people want prayer. I think it's one time we had someone say, well, I have nothing I need prayer for. She will one day. But in the same place, we had another divine appointment. It just wasn't that one. Do you see what I'm saying? If we don't stop, we don't hear. He didn't pass by. He stopped as he was passing on. You ever notice, Judy and I, we love each other. We talk about a lot of different things. I'll ask her a question, and I'm busy, or she's busy, and one of us or others goes into another room, and we're still talking about the same thing. Yeah. Women have hearing like that. They can hear. But man, you turn around and your wife is talking about something, but she's not sitting around. She's not being idle. And she's talking to you and she goes to do something else and she goes in another room.
I told you, you need to drop it. You have to have it down there.
What'd you say, honey? You mean you weren't listening to me? I've done it to her. She's done it to me. Steve smiling. You know that happens all the time. You know what women say a lot? Men have selective hearing. All right? He heard the plea. He stopped. Do you know what? I shouldn't do this, but many times people are talking about something, and I hear only the tail end of it, and I'll walk by, and I'll interject something in what they're saying and then keep on walking. Or stand by and they're looking at me. Because I didn't hear the whole thing. That's not involved me. I really don't care. I'm just trying to irritate you. Jesus stopped. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. His disciples told him to shut up. Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. If you're saved, you're supposed to be a disciple. You know what you're supposed to do? Bring him to Jesus. Because he stands at the door and knocks. Amen? He stood. He took the time to hear the plea. We're in a spiritual battle. You know why many people lose it, Christians? Because they don't ever stand. They keep passing by. So they don't stand against Ephesians 6:1. They don't withstand and stand, Ephesians 6:12. And they don't stand therefore, right? Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the, right? The gospel of peace. Having on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Every time I walk into the pastor's office, there they sit. You know what it's there for? To remind him that the battle is the Lord's and it's a spiritual battle. Physical significance to see it, but it's a spiritual battle. You know what Christians need to do? Instead of walking by, they need to stand fast. Another place says, stand fast and see the salvation of the when we make it about Jesus, you're going to give attention. You never hear as well when someone's trying to talk to you as you're moving from them. Sometimes you catch it a little bit as you're moving toward them. But if you want it to be personal, you got to give them time to be heard. Amen? It's a persistent plea. There's a bright position to do that. Now look at verse 41 of our text, Luke 19. Jesus says, and what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. It's a prevailing request. It's a prevailing request that I might receive my sight. That I may receive my sight. You know what that was? That was a desperate cry. It was a persistent cry. And when Jesus is there, it becomes a prevailing cry. To prevail means to overcome. You know what we're promised? We'll overcome the world. With what? Our faith. Our faith. It's a prevailing request. May I receive my sight. He didn't know that he had spiritual blindness. He wasn't emotionally blind because he was crying out. You know what sometimes Christians do when they have somebody who's hurt and they're crying out and they need help? They avoid them. If a brother being overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, knowing ye yourselves likewise also can be what? You're tempted. Okay? So, it was a prevailing request. Verse 42 of our text. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. He was looking for physical sight. You know what he got? Both. He was saved from his physical blindness. We'll see, what did he do with the rest of his time? We see it, he followed him. So you can see God's power. So many times, you can, if you ask Judy, we're praying. I may be crying, she may be crying. And it's, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help me to trust you, my Savior, in your word enough to live with that answer in prayer. God's power, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. 43, and what? Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So you have, now see, I told you a lot of P's here. You ready? You have a particular person, a particular place, a personal plea, a persistent plea, the position of the Savior. He stood. A prevailing request. It's a desperate cry. It's a persistent cry. It's a prevailing cry. And you have the power of God in the answer. And you know what those led to? Not just that he received his sight. Not just that he received his sight. See, it says here that he got saved and then went to the bar. Okay, he could see again. So he went out carousing. He went to do something else. No. And immediately he received his sight and did what? That's the proper path. Follow Jesus. He was saved. If you're saved, who are you supposed to follow? Follow Jesus. He followed him doing what? For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they, what? Are and were created. You're here to glorify him. Amen? And all the people, when they saw it, gave what? Praise to God. The proper path in your life, when he answers your plea, is follow him, glorify him, and cause praise to be given to God. Please stand. A lot can be learned on the wayside. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus, all those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Physical need. He was blind. He didn't know he was spiritually blind, and so many of the world doesn't. You know what they need? They need Jesus to pass by. And who is he going to pass by them in? You and me, who are saved. They need Jesus to stop, to hear their plea, and then answer them with the words of God. Because when he spoke, God spoke. I want you to know tonight, God sees you personally. He sees you personally. Saved or lost, he sees you personally. He doesn't say groups of people. He saves individuals. Do we see them as an individual? Do you approach God persistently? As Jesus Christ is within you, and you're on the highway, you're on the wayside, will you stand and listen? On some have compassion, making the difference. He cried with a personal plea. He was persistent in it. How sincere and according to Scripture is your approach, believer, to God? If you want them to have a sincere and biblical approach, you know what we must have before them? A sincere and biblical approach to God. And when you approach him that way, he'll not turn you away, because he's not slack concerning his promise. And he wants you to follow your proper path. The blind man followed him. He got physical sight. He got emotional sight. He glorified him. And he got spiritual sight. God speaking to your heart tonight. Some have come. Are you willing to come? This is a positive story because Jesus will stop for you. No matter where you are, who you are, what you have done, and He will give you light. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word, and I pray You'd help us in our hearts, Father, to give You glory day by day, that the path, Father, we don't know that direction. But if we're following You, we will always be where You want us to be. Work in our hearts to that end and help us to learn from the wayside that there's no person so wounded, so weary, so hurt that they can't be helped. That the Savior will always stand for them. And He commands us to pray. Help us to pray, even as the blind man did, with persistence, consistency, and let it be a plea because of who You are and not because of who we are. Well, thank You for this night in Jesus' name. Amen.